Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mobile Horror Companion. My name is Carlos Danger. Tonight, we're going to be talking about, just like everybody else on planet Earth, The Mandalorian Season 2 Finale. And joining me for this retrospective is Mr. Brian Spears. Hello, Brian.
Hello, hello.
And our good friend from the Music, Movies, and More podcast, Mr. Mike Lane. Hello, Mike.
Hello. The Force is certainly with us.
Yeah, right. I guess there's a lot to talk about. We should say right off the bat, if you have not seen season two of The Mandalorian, particularly the last episode, we're gonna spoil the hell out of it for you. So please stop listening until you watch it. If you're one of those people who are like, I'm not really into Star Wars, I don't really care about The Mandalorian, I'm sick of seeing it on Twitter and all that, still turn this off because it's a good show and you should give it a chance. I guess, and also you can follow us on Twitter, by the way, MobileHC666. We never say that anymore, but you can follow us. We do have a Twitter account, MobileHC666. Who wants to go first here? I'll just throw it out there because I tend to blab on for 20 minutes. So one of you guys talk about, I don't know where to start, wherever you want to start with this thing, but the last episode of The Mandalorian Season 2.
I can start. I mean, we have to, I think just starting with Luke is probably the best way to go. And it's funny because I listen to Star Wars podcasts and, you know, they're really good because they really go in depth with information. But the bad part about it is that they don't know the spoilers, but they're smart enough to predict. And a lot of their predictions are right. And this one podcast that I listened to, they said, oh, wouldn't it be funny if the Jedi was Luke? And before they mentioned that, I didn't even think of it. So I love listening to this podcast, but the fact that, you know, they kind of planted that, it didn't take away anything. When I saw Luke, I was still, you know, so excited. But I would think that if I didn't listen to that podcast and was just going in totally blind without any predictions, that's why I don't like predictions, because the predictions are sometimes right. I just would have been floored, because I was like, I remember I was laying down watching it. And then when Luke came, Luke's my favorite character. So when he arrived, I had to sit up. And then by the end, I was laughing. And then by the end, I started crying. And then by the very end, it was a combination of laughing and crying. Loved it.
Brian's got a question. Yes,
Mr. I got Spears. A question. because here's the thing. I guess it was a little spoiled, or maybe I figured it out. Well, I figured it out when my nerd friend Pete Gerner, who never answers our messages to be on this show, he like wrote like John Favreau, thank you so much, like some dorky, like, you know, he always is very polite in his like, oh, thank you. So I figured, oh, I wonder if Luke Skywalker showed up. So I don't know, or
oh, no kidding.
Have I heard rumblings about this? Have I heard, you know, I mean, I also heard Boba Fett was going to be in this season before it started. So I mean, some of these rumblings I've heard, but I don't like search them out. I don't like, you know, it goes in and out, like kind of like the interwebs. It does. I don't go and look that stuff up. But I also saw that people like teared up and everything. And I guess it had to all do with Luke. Although my nephew did not tear up over Luke. It was that Baby Yoda and his daddy got separated, and how he like, holy cow, I can't believe, like, he's like, aren't you crying? Aren't you crying? Like, this is so sad. I was like, but it is kind of happy he's meeting other people. But the whole Luke thing, I'm going to be the negative one on this. I would have liked it if we didn't see him come through the door, or it didn't end there, or maybe.
Oh, you know, even if been, I would have been enraged.
Oh, really?
I thought that's what they're going to do. Because they were dragging on, he was like going after the battle bots or the Terminator from the first Terminator movie. That was like all that, those things reminded me of. If they just, I thought they were just going to, he'll just go away, you know, save the day anonymously. And I think I would have set my house on fire had that happened.
But I didn't cry over it. No, and that's no offense, you know, Mike. I mean, I get it. Like, I know, I was just more like, all right, this is good. Like, it's good in such a, I don't know, man. This show is either genius or the dumbest show that we're all loving.
Right. Either way, it's, yeah, it's hard.
Because this is such a simple show. It is like, I've never heard it's compared to the X-Files Monster of the Week. It is the Incredible Hulk going to a town, saving each town. It is, you know, Walker Tech. But I love it. I think this is a great show. And I sent a meme earlier. And again, I don't follow the canon probably as much as Mike does. I'm pretty much Empire, Star Wars, Ewoks, but I hate the Ewoks. That's it. Like the other ones I've blocked out. I've seen them all, but blocked them out. So I don't know. Well, Luke Skywalker drove me like it was awesome, but to me the story really was still Yoda like goes away.
Yeah. I thought the meme you sent kind of explained. You know, the meme you sent was the one of the directors of the new trilogy, or J.J. Abrams, and it says like, oh, I don't know how to appeal to younger fans. Appease
the new fans and the old fans, you know, to make everyone happy in the same. Somebody's gonna get ticked off more, you know.
And then it shows Jon Favreau saying like, "Hold my beer," and he's standing behind a Mandalorian poster. But like, I mean, and it does that in that your nephew, who's in second grade, third grade, right?
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
So he's upset. He's connected to Yoda. He connects to that emotional part of the story. And they know that the rest of us, like his uncle, you're going to be emotional at the fact that, like, you know, Luke Skywalker means something to everybody who grew up watching Star Wars. So they get you coming and going.
But I got mad because clearly the guy doing acrobatics down the hallway wasn't Mark Hamill, but it wasn't even Mark Hamill build. But build in like that era, you know what I mean? Like he was just slightly too.
That's the worst.
That took me a little out of it. I'm sorry.
Let's ask Mike, because Mike was going first. Like, Mike, when did you realize it was Luke Skywalker?
I realized it was Skywalker when I saw the green lightsaber, because you know when the X-wing came.
But you couldn't tell that by the X-wing.
Well, not right away, because at first I thought, oh, it's Ahsoka. Because I saw the lightsaber, and then, you know, when the green, maybe I just wasn't processing it when I saw the X-Wing, but it was the green lightsaber.
My nephew, when he saw the X-Wing, he turned around and said, "Yo, is that Han Solo coming?" I said, "Do you mean Luke Skywalker?" He's like,
Yeah.
Whatever. He started cheering.
Because I was thinking, oh, maybe it's a misdirection. Maybe they want us to think it's Luke and it's really someone else, you know. But it wasn't until because you saw on the monitor, you couldn't see the color of the lightsaber. So you're going, well, what is this? And then when I saw the green. So yeah. And I just want to say, just going back to, you know, what made me cry, it was also Grogu, Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And the Mandalorian. That goodbye was just, it was bittersweet. It was so gut wrenching. But that line, you know, we'll be together again or whatever, I promise, you know, that kind of leaves room open to, I'm so curious now what happens to Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian.
And you know what's so weird about all of us old men here is we keep referring to Baby Yoda, Grogu or whatever, as Baby Yoda, because that's I guess our fan base starts from that generation, which this Mandalorian did genius to like bring back my spirit. And I think it's because it's done practically. And I don't just mean like practically like makeup and spaceships and a world. I mean, practically like the stories are just simple.
Yeah.
Like the George Lucas movies. And from there on those other ones, the J.J. Abrams created such a UN, a universe, a galaxy that we saw like almost too much of the galaxy, where this we land on a planet, we just know a certain fraction. We don't get to see the whole planet. We don't get to see, you know, like those other ones, especially those new ones, really came out and they were just filled, you know, in the original Star Wars, we had a cantina. Well, what was the last one? They brought a goddamn casino in one of them. You know what I mean? Like it just too much, where this just brought it right back down to practicality. Very simple story. Dude, they're like 46 minutes, but they feel like, oh my God, I can't wait till this, you know, to be over. And also like, not be over, but like begin the next one, you know, like I can't wait like where this is going. And you know, that's in 46 minutes. I looked at my watch, 46 times in all the other Star Wars movies, being like, all right, are we ending soon? Are we an hour in? Where are we?
Yeah, it's amazing, because I was thinking the same thing. How many of these episodes of The Mandalorian take place, or at least part of the episode takes place in a Star Wars hallway? They're always like, they're on a ship. It's a big ship, but they're always just contained shooting down that hallway, which is, you know, it's like the Death Star from the first Star Wars. Even the walls all look the same.
Yeah, all look,
you know, they have like whatever buttress coming out of it that they're like, always hiding behind. They always
about this. There's something cheap about it, because it probably is made on TV, you know, for a TV schedule. So you have a certain amount of days to get everything done. Even though they have money, it's done in such a fast time that it reminds you of that original movie, which was, you know, blockbuster, but not, you know, it was a built blockbuster. You know what I mean? Like, they had to physically inhabit everything.
Yeah. And go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, I agree with Brian in that the stories are simple, but the characters are complex. So, like,
I mean, this is a great character study. You know, it is a great, like, and I think what's great about it, we all bring a different backstory. If you know more, I guess you know more. I'm kind of digging this because, hey, it's the real return to Star Wars for me. I don't get what the sword means. I don't get some of these droids. I don't get some of the bad. I thought Rosario Dawson's character was cool. I didn't care if that was the first time in my life that I saw her. You know what I mean? Like, whatever they're doing right. And I just think it's just because there's nothing to it.
I think the show also, what it does really well, and I was thinking about it last night during that scene where the cyborg from Terminator 1 is almost crushing the Mandalorian's helmet. Like, you could feel those hits. It does action.
Sound design.
It does action very well.
Yeah.
We live in this age where, you know, the Fast and the Furious and back when like movie theaters were a thing, the tentpole movies were these ridiculous action movies like Fast and Furious, the Transformers, and a lot of the Marvel movies, you know, or the DC movies, Batman versus Superman, where the action is kind of like what you're saying, Brian. It's like global and just all compute. It's just, I don't know. This is when you can feel somebody getting hit. The action's just really good on The Mandalorian, and that they had such good set pieces week after week. And like you guys are saying, the performances, and I think I've said this before, they're just spot on. You know, there's pitch perfect performances across the board in The Mandalorian. Even Bill Burr sells you know, not like a classically trained actor.
He got me this time. He didn't get me in season one. He got me this time. He was really good.
And then, like, a lot of people have pointed out these, you know, they're filling in even smaller parts. You know, the dude from the Rob Zombie movie has that. He's the, you know, you just see that guy and you're like, oh, he's evil. That was a great scene. You know, and just them, they just do action really well. And I'm not even an action movie guy. You know, most of the time that bores me. But damn.
But I think they're doing that Western thing, too, which I really like, where they get that action scene. But it's because it's with... You know, I mean, it's a Western action too. I think they literally ripped off either a James Coburn movie or like, you know, one of those the Magnificent Seven, shot for shot.
Yeah, yeah. There's all kinds of
In the Rodriguez episode, just the way that was staged, it might have been at the same location. Let's get these cool shots. I just think it's almost like it's going back a level to a nostalgic. Like, they're just doing everything. Maybe in the MTV world, like, it just doesn't seem like that. They're slowing it down a bit.
But I think the writing is more in line with these days. And I think television and movies these days, they more explore the gray, you know, instead of good, bad, it explores the gray area. The Bill Burr episode explored that beautifully about, you know, beliefs and points of views and where you're from. And even the beginning of
and Bill Burr was like, hey, I could just do my entire routine during quarantine. I'll just do a whole quarantine routine and just do it right there on The Mandalorian.
It did reek that like Bill Burr wrote some of his own lines. Yeah. I read somewhere, Brian, did you tell me he was like, oh, I agreed to be on The Mandalorian again as long as they could let me be racist to The Mandalorian? Did you tell me that?
No, I had no idea.
I either saw that somewhere or I read it. It was a headline. But yeah, and the other thing that the show has done really, really well, and I think this is what I mean, like, George Lucas, the interesting thing when you think back to the original trilogy and just the way he used Boba Fett, we've talked about this 1,000 times, like he didn't really realize how, just from an aesthetic standpoint, how cool Boba Fett was. Like he didn't recognize how that character, just from the way he looked and carried himself, would impress people, would have an air of mystery about him. The same thing with Darth Maul. He didn't get, you know, instead he was pumping dialogue in character, you know, in the bland heroes, I would say. But this show gets that, and it's very concise. You know, the Mandalorian is in a tradition that goes back like 1,000 years with it, or not 1,000 years, but, you know, since the beginning of movies of, you know, the hero who don't say much, you know, and they get that so well. And so, and that makes it even more powerful where, you know, yeah, this is, he views the little Yoda as his son by the end of this series, and makes that parting so tough to bear. Because it was sad. I mean, I teared up too for a million reasons.
That got me. Like, I'm, you know.
And seeing Luke Skywalker, though, what I thought was just when he, okay, so I thought, here's the.
It made me stand up and cheer. Like, it had me.
The X-Wing fighter shows up. There's my X-Wing fighter. Where I'm like, oh my, I said to my wife, I'm like, I wonder, is that going to be Luke Skywalker?
Yeah.
And he comes through, and the whole time, you know, like he's wearing his hood, and you know, you're thinking,
like, if it wasn't, I would have been floored, because I was like, all right, oh my God, it's Luke Skywalker, Luke Skywalker.
And, you know, again, like the set piece, they do it real well the whole time. You know, the robot Terminator guy, they're banging on the door. I thought like the sequence went on for a little too long. I don't know, you know, but it's awesome. It ends with like he crushes the last one like a beer can. But I mean, that CGI, I'm no expert in CGI, but it threw me out of the story. I thought that was the worst.
Well,
I thought it was the worst CGI I've ever seen. And that could be because, I mean, obviously it's not the worst that's ever been made, but it could be that I was so emotionally invested by that point. Here's Luke Skywalker. Here he is. Oh my God, he's appearing on The Mandalorian and he's saving the day. And what is going on? Is this the end of the show? Because that's a whole other thing that goes into your mind. And they, like, why? Why did that have to be CGI? Mark Hamill's still alive. Why can't you throw current day Mark Hamill in there? Yeah, he's older, but, you know, throw some, I mean, they did it, and, you know, throw some hair dye on him, you know, do some of those, whatever they did for The Irishman. If you really, I mean, I just don't understand why you got to do CGI. It was horrible. My wife looked at me
out of it.
My wife looked at me that scene happened. And I look over her and she looked over at me like I had just farted. Like it was just, we were just like, what? Like, I thought that was awful. Matt Maestel couldn't be here tonight from Mondo Creepy, who's always on the podcast, but he made a point on Facebook saying that, you know, if they're going to do that, they should have at least done like the deep fake thing, which I guess is a different technology where you can take an existing face or whatever you do. Because I guess some people have gone back to the Princess Leia when she appears at the end of, I guess, Rogue One. And they compare if you use the deep fake technology versus the CGI, how the deep fake looks better. But I mean, my thing
they did it with Grand Moff talking, and that took me out of the movie, whichever those new Star Wars ones. And this was it was video game-ish. So that take me out of it.
It was just, it was just, I couldn't believe it. And I don't understand, you know, the guy's still alive. Why not put, you know?
And again,
like, there's
an
emotional buildup, and then you're like, it's like,
And maybe I'm watching this like completely different because I'm dumb and I'm a rube and I love Star Wars. It affected my life. I have had the toys. I still have toys. But I don't know any of this, like
the in-between stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The pantology, is that, or the whole, what ancestry of this whole story? I don't know any of that. So to me, guess what? The Mandalorian, he could have showed up with the long beard and I would have been like, oh, cool. Like, I didn't care much that it has to fit in a timeline.
That's a good point. Yeah. They could have cheated. My suspension of disbelief would have held had it been a real person. And you could argue that, oh, wait, Luke's old and this is only 9 years after Return of the Jedi. Who cares?
Like, who cares?
Put a living, breathing actor in a role if you have the opportunity, for God's sake. Don't do this computer garbage, especially if it's going to look like that. That looks like a mannequin. Now, I read in the AV Club had a review of this. And they glossed over this critique, and they said, look, if you're complaining about the way CGI Luke looks, like, you're the type of person that complains, oh, I can see the strings, like, you're just missing the story.
No,
and all that's good. But I don't know, it's just, but that's the reaction that I had. I still loved it, and I thought it was great, but that I was really bothered by that CGI, like, to my bone it bothered me.
If it was though another actor, it may have, maybe it would
no, have bring Mark Hamill. Why couldn't it have been Mark Hamill himself? He's not dead.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, if you're going back to The Irishman, you know, even that de-aging kind of was the same uncanny.
Dude, I'd go to Howard Stern Private Parts. Hey, just throw a wig on the guy, right? And like, just, I don't like,
dye
his
eyebrows.
That's the one thing that bothered me.
Yeah, just, but yeah, they didn't have to do all, he could still, you don't even have to do any makeup, you know, what they do in the new ones, they gave him a goatee, right? I mean, I don't know, you know, just shave the goatee and let Mark Hamill be Mark Hamill. It's his, I mean, that's his part for
And God's listen,
sake.
If they can zap that a little bit, they can do that. Like, where,
yeah, it was only,
like,
it was only what, 15 seconds. It wasn't like The Irishman where you're looking at it the whole time. Like, this is weird. I think the guy just fell out of his face. But anyway, that's like my major critique. And the other thing, I didn't look it up because I thought we'd be idiots if I said this, because there is a season 3 coming.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't realize that. I was sitting there watching it, and my wife and I were like, well, is this the end of the show now? Because it was, I mean, that's the other thing that I respect about this show.
It ended.
Yeah. Like, I did not see that coming. Like, you'd think, I always expected this show to start going off the rails and just drag out the Baby Yoda stuff. This would be going on for, you know, 10 years. But no, like, there, here he's with the Jedi. And I really thought that was great. It brought an ending, at least it seems for the time being, to that story. And I was really impressed by that. Bummed out because I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, is this such a big hit? The stars don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Or they're all just so busy getting their own shows. And also, like, the ending music, they didn't do, you know, they usually end every episode. It's that cool ass.
Yeah.
And you see the storyboards, the awesome looking cartoony things. And they didn't do that this time. It was more like the melodramatic, what, John Williams type take on the Mandalorian theme, which had a feeling of finality to me. And I was really bummed out. I was like, oh, damn, I didn't realize this is going to be the last one ever. And that, you know, it hit me that way. But it's not.
It's not. Yeah.
Right. But, I guess, but we don't know what season 3 is going to be. It doesn't say for certain that what Pedro dude's going to return to it, right? Is it going to be the Mandalorian, or I don't know.
I can predict that it's going to be the Mandalorian, and then they're going to deal with the politics of, because he still has the Darksaber. That's his. So you're going to have to deal with him against Bo-Katan, the politics of Mandalore, you know, who
also,
he is, how he fits in.
Also, doesn't at some point somebody kill all these Jedis?
Well, I was just reading that's 19 years from now, apparently, when what's his name, the guy from
Anakin?
The new ones. No, Anakin, that already happened.
All right.
Anakin, that's where Baby Yoda comes.
See, this
from.
This is what I'm all screwed up, man. I don't know. This,
but that's just from the first
movie.
Right.
So, but that's the only thing I heard. He could start to rescue Baby Yoda at some point.
Right.
From the Jedi Temple that, what's his name? Ben Solo's son. Or what's his name?
Yeah.
You know, that from Girls, whatever, like Darth Maul. What's his name? It's killing me.
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren. Yeah. Okay. He goes and destroys Luke Skywalker's temple. Nobody gives a shit about that, though. But yeah, that happens another 19 years. Maybe that's what it'll build toward. But, you know, one thing about Brian, we always take smelly dumps on the, like, comic books and other books and all that stuff that isn't the movies, you know, from you and I, the movies are the movies, everything else is bullshit. But from everything I'm reading, I guess what's made The Mandalorian so good is that it's drawing from, I guess, ideas that were raised in the comic books and everything that we're taking a giant crap on. So I guess we should, or I feel
and
like I
what?
Owe,
I'm not,
okay.
I'm not
I owe an apology.
I'm not taking a crap.
Sure,
what I am saying is, I think this, but I just, either it's a good movie or not. And sometimes if they're not using that source material correctly, or I just don't give it, like, guess what? If I was supposed to know all that stuff.
Yeah. You don't have to know, but I guess that's where they're getting their ideas from, though. That's where
Lucas screwed those up and he ruined all those three. And then after that, I just didn't follow it because.
You do not need to know who Ahsoka Tano is. before The Mandalorian. You have no idea. You don't have to know anything about Bo-Katan.
And that's sort of what I love about this.
Yeah.
They're introduced.
That's a mark of a good show.
Yeah. It's cool if you do, but you don't need to know it.
Exactly. And I love that. I love that it appeases everyone, gets to be happy with this one, you know, because again, I don't want to know that stuff, but I'm glad whoever does, I'm hoping it's fulfilling them as much as I'm being 1977 version being fulfilled.
This reminds me of when, you know, when Glenn was on the early podcast and we might have been talking about Star Wars or The Force Awakens, and Glenn would always say, well, it's explored in the books after the movie, and Brian would yell, why don't read those books? Why do I have to read those books? I don't want to read those books. Why do I have to go? You know, and Brian has a point. You know, you need to kind of thread that needle and have a balance between those two, because not everybody's going to get it.
It's got to stand on its own.
Explore a book if it's not in the movie. So totally.
Yeah.
Because I also say this: I didn't like the Ewok one, and I was what, 12 when that came out? 11. I walked out of that saying he made a piece of crap movie. So I knew back then. You know, it's not like I'm in love either with the franchise. You cannot be my age and Star Wars not have affected your life in some way or another.
You just made me think, like, the Mandalorian season 2, season finale face reveal of Luke is the worst reveal since Return of the Jedi, where Darth Vader takes off the mask and it's like the geriatric old guy. You're like, what? That's the least intimidating villain of all time.
It should have been David Prowse.
Do you think Pedro, in his contract, gets 2 episodes to remove the mask?
I gotta show my face. I'm only gonna look this good for a couple of years.
It's interesting though. So speaking of Glenn, he did bring up a good point, because we texted each other after the show. He said that it would have been more powerful if that scene with Baby Yoda where the Mandalorian takes his mask off, that was the first time we ever saw his face. I agree. However, you know, maybe there's something in the contract about, you know, I don't know, but that definitely,
I think that proved he broke his rules for the love of his child.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the love of a child is more important than whatever beliefs you have. You know, that was like, at least that's the way I took it. I think they screwed up because they took it off the episode before. I think that was a mistake because it was too soon.
Right, yeah.
Because even my nephew goes, his mustache is different. What, did he shave?
Yes, he shaved between.
Oh, that's funny. Some kind of, yeah. I wonder when they film those things. All right, so Luke Skywalker takes off his helmet thing. Oh, wait, Boba Fett wasn't actually in the room, was he? Boba Fett was off flying around. Okay, good. Because I was going to be like, why wouldn't Luke be like, hey, it's freaking Boba Fett. I thought you were dead. But it wasn't that. So I guess that leads us to the last thing to talk about, that after credits scene where you know, is Star Wars going to become The Walking Dead with Fear of the Walking Dead?
Or Conan, man. That was like such a Conan.
Well, it was bizarre. I mean, because like Boba Fett, right? I mean, The Mandalorian, it started off last season on the first episode. You're like, oh, he's kind of a bad guy. But he very quickly is, you know, practically riding a white horse.
Yeah.
Where Boba Fett is kind of, all right, he just murdered that dude, cold blood, and what his whole goal was to become a local mob leader on whatever that planet is. That Alderaan or whatever the hell it is?
No, that was Tatooine or whatever, yeah.
Jabba the Hutt's palace.
Yeah, no, I got that. I got it from the Return of the Jedi. But, you know, hey, it's cool. Now they're going to take, they're going to have Boba. There's going to be a Boba Fett show I don't know what's going on there. I'm a little worried. I almost think like one thing, this is very, very minor, but wouldn't it have been cool if like the whole time the Mandalorian was Boba Fett, if this was Boba Fett's story the whole time, and he did that turn? I don't know. Maybe that's.
I thought about that. Or instead of giving me a show, can't he just pop up in 4 of the 8 episodes of this and like,
overexposure.
I did not see Solo, and I was very much against it until I saw Solo, much when it was free, when it was, you know, and I thought that movie was enjoyable. Not a great movie, but enjoyable. But I think the problem is you can get oversaturated with Star Wars. And I got no problem if Jon Favreau is that talented and is going to run that many shows, which we know he's not. And I don't mean to be, whatever he's doing with this Mandalorian is working. I just don't know if you could do that with all those shows.
I mean, it's going to depend on the talent behind the showrunners, you know, and the writers and the directors. I say if you know, quantity doesn't concern me, it's quality. So if there's quantity and the quality is high, it's a bunch of different people doing it and really talented people doing it. As long as it's good, you know, I won't get burned out with it, you know. So
I just don't want them to ruin, like, you know, I don't want them to go Walking Dead.
Yes.
With spinoffs and taking it to a season, you know, like, hey, man, maybe there's two more seasons left in this at the very most. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, don't beat it. Don't beat a dead horse. Yeah,
because it's that simple. It's that good. And it's, I don't know, man, I don't have kids, but watching this with my nephew is like so much cooler.
Yeah,
because he I don't think he gives a crap about what they're saying. He cares that, like, when the action happens, but he does seem must care because he, you know, with their final dialogue, and he's picking up that, you know, the guy saying goodbye to his kid. So he gets it. But it's, in this pandemic, politically gross world where, you know, we're doing all this on a Zoom and we're in a whole new world politically. We don't even know where we're still at. It's just a dumb Star Wars movie that, I don't know, it's so simple.
But you know what worries me? It's the same thing that's going on with The Walking Dead. I mean, you've got these companies now trying to transition to streaming only. So Disney Plus is now being built on the back of The Mandalorian.
Yes.
The same way I think, you know, The Walking Dead keeps sort of breaking off. It's like lice at this point. There's so many different shows I can't keep track. But it's like, I think that's AMC, whoever owns AMC, whatever company, trying to get the foot in streaming because they know that's where it's all going.
That's where it's all going. Yeah. I mean, you know, and they got me. I'm going to watch every episode one. I'll probably watch every season of whatever they do and either really love it or what I'm afraid of. Is it, I'm going to hate it, and it's like going to water down everything again.
We're kind of getting that now. Like, as a Star Wars fan, I think I've watched everything that they've
done.
There's a lot of cartoons, and, you know, and some of these cartoons are really, really good, whether it's Clone Wars or some episodes of Rebels. Some episodes of Rebels were, you know, you can throw them away. Some episodes of Rebels were incredible, you know, and then there's another show called Resistance, which wasn't that good at all. I kind of had it on in the background. So we kind of have that now. And it's, again, it's watching something. And if it draws you in, great. And if it doesn't, you can just kind of, you know, move along, to quote, you know, the Stormtroopers, and you know, just watch what interests you. I find it interesting. And maybe I'm just on the internet too much. Like, when it comes to, if someone doesn't like Star Wars, they'll usually blame Kathleen Kennedy, who's the head of Lucasfilm.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But if someone loves Star Wars, they'll go, thank you, Jon Favreau. Thank you, Dave Filoni. So if Star Wars is bad, it's Kathleen Kennedy. But if Star Wars is good, it's not Kathleen Kennedy. It's someone else. And my take is, she's the head of Lucasfilm. I would imagine she has some creative control. She approves, she disapproves. Whether it's good or bad, it's kind of, you know, she plays a big part in this. So, you know, I won't go into it, but I'm sure there's other factors at play when it comes.
I always see that. I see a lot of people like
fanboys hate chicks. You mean?
There you go. Thank you.
It is crazy in the sense that, like, that's, again, I don't care about any of that stuff, especially when it comes to Star Wars. Just if it's a good movie, I just wish they were better. But also, how can you?
Has anybody reacted to the fact that, like, the climax of this was four women? And what's his name? The Mandalorian there?
Yeah.
Because it was the Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
The other one, Gina, what's her name?
Carano.
She's the weak link of the show, though. I was hoping, like, all right, if you're going to kill off one person, maybe it would be that character, because she's so wooden.
She has a great presence, but yeah, she's not the best actor.
She has a good look. She has a good look. Other than that, I can't handle her or anything else.
No. And then on a personal note, she's like heavy-duty conspiracy theorist.
She's kind of an a-hole. That's a whole thing in MMA. MMA has a lot of those for some reason.
I know.
But I don't know.
I did think it was awesome that he got his butt kicked by a chick.
What, a Boba Fett? See, that kind of bummed me out a little bit. I don't know what was going on.
I know, it did bump me out. But even like my nephew was like, oh yeah, like he's like, all right, you know, like.
So I love guess that Boba Fett's a little fat. That's my favorite thing is Boba Fett's got a bit of a gut on him.
I mean, it's kind of true. Like in real life, if you know, regardless of the gender, if the person knows how to fight, you know, they're gonna use whatever techniques they use and put up a fight. You know,
so, I didn't mind it. Like I just thought it was sort of.
I don't want to see anybody beat up Boba Fett.
Well, I thought it was a little answer to, hey, you know, he's a cis male gender. You know, I thought it was a little like, I didn't mind that political take of it, if you will.
But that Mandalorian, she's a pro wrestler. I believe she died. Moff Gideon killed her at the end, right? He shot her a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody got shot, but I don't remember.
Sasha Banks, I think, is her wrestler name.
I didn't think she died, though. I just assumed she, you know, it was like a happy ending.
I don't know. I guess I'll have to go back and watch. That's the great thing about Disney Plus. We can just go watch it right now. All right, so that's it for our Mandalorian season 2 review. We've become fanboys. We've become those Pint of Comics guys, just loving everything. I don't know.
Well, so
I guess we're getting
my criticism for, well, at least this episode was great, but I some of that dialogue, they're trying to incorporate like the galaxy language to try to make it into like our English language. That didn't work. Like
the cursing, you mean?
Yeah, their version of cursing, and then like, you know, you're gonna get out of this, whatever the analogies were. It hurt to listen to. That was kind of cringeworthy. Whatever language they used to try and, you know, incorporate
a skank in a something or other. I mean, they used the word skank in a weird way.
It didn't work at all. It took me out of it. And then, you know, another criticism of The Mandalorian is that I would rather not have the monster of the week or the quest. I wish it was, you know, focusing on moving the overall story as opposed to this is the mission. And then after the mission, you move on because you got a clue to go somewhere else. I would rather have less of that. It's a small criticism though, because overall, I really love the show.
I'm sort of happy that he, like the ride or die crew at the end there, it wasn't Carl Weathers, like Carl Weathers' character. He's just too cheery. You know,
it's interesting because Pedro Pat, the Mandalorian kind of was more talkative this season, but then when you saw Carl Weathers, he kind of toned it down a little bit. Instead of the hello Mando, instead of doing that, he was more, I guess, low key. I liked Carl Weathers, and
guys,
I liked him in both, but I liked him in the first season too.
All right, so that's it for this episode.
All right.
So next week is our next week's our Christmas episode.